Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of RBC Wealth Management and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And now, here's your host, the man talking in your backswing, Charlie Nance.
Hey, welcome back. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. And today, we begin our annual look back and look ahead with some of our favorite regular guests on the show. For the fifth year, we have our 10 predictive question series. And today, the answers come from CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, Kyle Porter. Syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, John Patrick. And we begin with our man from the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, Ron Green Jr. Last year, this was question number one. Over-under major appearances by Tiger Woods, and the number was set at 1.5. This year, I'm going to alter it somewhat. Over-under just regular tournament wins by Tiger Woods, and again, I'm going to set the number at 1.5.
Over.
So you think he will win two or more times this next year?
I do think so. I think we're just about to see. I don't think we've seen the best of the new Tiger yet.
I'm of the opinion of that as well, and I'm also of the opinion that when it does happen, it won't last long. Like, we're not in a five-year run here. If we get one and a half, 2 years of it, that will be great, and that'll be the end of it. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I haven't envisioned it as a five-year thing. I hope we get that, but I think he's the perfect example. Let's take it one tournament at a time, but I'm optimistic we're going to see some really special Tiger this year or next season.
Ron, what is more likely to happen? Rory and or Spieth complete the career Grand Slam this year, or neither ever completes it?
Neither ever completes it.
I think that's the bet. I mean, what, only four or five have done it in all these years of golf?
Yeah, so to narrow it down to this year or this coming year, that's a small window there.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking dead aim, our annual 10 predictive questions for the 2019 season. Last year, I asked if Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka were more likely to build off of their major championship success or have that chasing appearance fees hangover that we see so often. Well, both of them had really good years. Brooks had a great year. Will both, either, or neither win a major this year?
Well, you know there are only four majors.
Yes.
So that narrows it down. I think one of them will win a major. I would skew probably toward Justin Thomas, because as good as Brooks Koepka is, and he's number one in the world for a reason. I just think that, you know, he's won three of the last six he's played, I think. And, you know, at some point you can't win them all, although maybe you can win a lot of them. I would love to have either one of his chances, but I would give Justin Thomas the edge there.
All right, speaking of major championships, here are your venues this year. Augusta, Bethpage Black, Pebble Beach, and Royal Portrush. Now, do you think with these venues in play, we're more likely to see more players padding their major championship resumes or more likely to see first-time winners?
Padding their resumes. And I say that knowing there's a lot of good players out there. I mean, a guy like Tony Finau or somebody could go win one that wouldn't surprise anybody. But I just think, you know, a lot of guys have won some. I think when you look at Spieth and Rory and Tiger and Dustin Johnson, those guys, you know, I think we'll have more repeat or multiple major champions now than we'll have first-timers.
If Justin Thomas is to win a major this year, of those four venues, which do you think sets up best for him?
Augusta National. I think Justin Thomas has the game to play Augusta National. I think with, he's emotional, which I like. And, I mean, Jordan Spieth is hugely emotional, too. I think with some seasoning, I think Justin Thomas is primed to win at Augusta.
Ron, as we're recording this, you're working on an article on Cameron Champ for the Global Golf Post. Just won his first tour event, and this guy kills it. However, while averaging 324 off the tee, he was near last in the field in fairways hit, but he was third in greens hit. Now, is this what's wrong with the game, or is this just where the game is and there's nothing that's going to be done about it?
I think it's where the game is. I don't think a whole lot's going to be done about it. I think the PGA Tour views it in some ways as a television show, and that people like to see him hit it long. Now, when you start talking about guys hitting it long, there's long, there's Dustin Johnson long, then there's Cameron Champ long. And he is, Sean Foley says it's like watching a guy run a 4.340 and just thinking, how in the world does somebody do it? And then suddenly a guy blows by him and runs a 4.1. He said that's sort of what Cameron Champ has done in terms of length. But, I mean, he's a guy who, again, quoting Sean Foley, it's great if you can drive at 360, but if you hit your sandwich 30 feet from the hole, it doesn't do you any good. And I think that's what Cameron Champ understands and the next part of what his evolution will be. But I think there will continue to be a great deal of talk about reining in golf balls and fixing distance and all stuff, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Isn't it a cheaper solution based on what we saw with the Ryder Cup in France? Rather than spending gazillions of dollars rolling back the golf ball and worrying about equipment, how about if we just raise the height of the lawnmower a little bit? And if you grow out the rough, it will keep people from bombing and gouging because they will be unable to do so.
Well, I think that, but I don't want it to be where they build the stick rough right off the fairway and it takes any skill or recovery element out of the game. Phil Mickelson has talked forever that the recovery shot is the most exciting shot in golf. Well, that's probably because Phil just hit more of them than most people. They can be. I mean, I don't think most of the time, if a guy, drives at 325 down there and has a wedge out of the rough, most of the time on the PGA Tour, there's not a lot of drama to it. You know he's going to hit it on the green. How close is he going to hit it? Now, I think if you can find that right equation where, you're penalized for a big miss, you should be penalized a big penalty for a big miss. They hit it so far now that, I don't know how much defense you can play without just making it really, really tricked up. Now, it worked at the Ryder Cup. It's a different kind of golf course, and it's, the penalty was severe. But I don't know if people want to watch that kind of penalty being handed out every week when they're watching on television.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Champ's victory last week does not qualify him for Augusta, but it does qualify him for Kapalua, correct?
Yes.
So we will get to see him hitting down those hills at the Plantation course.
It might be – we might be giggling watching.
I was going to say, this could be some must-watch television in January where Cameron Champ goes to Kapalua.
Yeah, that's it's not hard to hit it 320 off the tee on 17 and 18, those downhill holes out there. I've played it a couple times, and you can – it just gets going, and there's nothing to stop it. But his goes so far before it lands, it's just, it will be some fun stuff to see.
I mean, I'm envisioning him playing the 18th at Kapalua, and if the winds are right, and if he hits it far enough out to the right, we could be looking at like driver 7-iron, driver 8-iron on a almost 700-yard par 5.
It will be worth keeping an eye on, yeah. I think... Yeah, that'll be one of the interesting early season things, getting out there and watching him see what he does. Of course, you go back and arguably the shot of the year, Dustin Johnson hit on, a 430-yard par 4?
Almost hold it, yeah.
Yeah, you can do it out there. Or let me rephrase it. They can do it out there.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. Our guest taking Dead Aim, 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. We're up to number 6. Bryson DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm. Those are the only three players currently in the top 10 in the world who have not won a major. Who wins one first, and will it be this year? And would your answer change if I threw in number 11 in the mix, Tommy Fleetwood?
No, my answer would not change. Banking on what Butch Harmon says, I think Ricky is the one who wins first. I just think that he did not have a great year. Didn't win this year on the PGA Tour, but he plays well a lot. I think, I think you could obviously make a case for any of those guys. John Rahm, obviously. DeChambeau, he will equation it to death one of these years. And Fleetwood, I mean, Fleetwood, you know, but for Brooks Koepka, Shinnecock would have been differently. But I'm going to take Ricky Fowler. I'm still in his camp in this one.
See, I am too, and especially being a California kid, there's something about him playing at Pebble Beach that I like. I could be completely wrong and just two in the tank for a really nice guy. I don't know. Ron, one of my favorite annual questions here, yes or no, do you think the USGA finds a way to screw up the setup at Pebble and make themselves the story once again?
They've had enough practice at Pebble Beach that I think they're going to grow a lot of rough out there, rely on the June gloom and the fog and everything to soften the golf course to make it play a little longer. I think they get Pebble Beach right.
Question number 8. Billy Payne is going into the World Golf Hall of Fame for his work, essentially his work in growing the game in the last 10 years as chairman at Augusta National. However, unlike the previous chairman, he made no significant changes to the golf course. How much change and how fast do you think they occur with the new chairman, Fred Ridley? And do you think there's any chance of rolling back some of the Hootie changes that were so universally panned?
I think Fred Ridley will have more hands-on influence on the golf course. I think partly because Billy Payne was focused on other things. And obviously, his legacy is tied to the drive, chip, and putt. Expanding all the facilities down there, feeling like he sort of opened the doors to the world to Augusta National with the two big amateur events they created. And I think Fred, being the player he has been through his years, will take a very close look at the golf course. I mean, we'll already see a new fifth hole next
right.
year that's already been done. So that part has been put in play. I think there will be changes. Will they ever take down the forest that was planted along the right side of the 11th hole? I hope they do, but I'm not holding my breath for that. And, you know, I hope they don't change the 13th hole. It may be inevitable, but I just would hate to think they have to go change that hole. But I think, you know, when going all the way back to Bobby Jones and all that, Augusta National's a golf course. They remain sort of a work in progress. They see it as a living, breathing thing, and they make adjustments, and I'm sure we will continue to see them.
I think I know your answer to this next question based on what I know you're working on right now. Is there a player that you kind of have your eye on, a Cameron Champ, a Sam Burns, an Austin Cook, that you think has a real chance to take that next step this year?
I think you named one of them right there. I think Sam Burns, he had some moments this year. I think he's a really, really good player, and I think he is Cameron Champ has the explosiveness and the power and is going to get a lot of people going over to watch him to see how far he hits it. I think Sam Burns might have the pedigree to just be one of those guys who sort of moves right in there and sort of like you're never surprised when you hear his name.
Get you out of here on this. Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. Our 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Your surprise or gut prediction about anything in the world of golf this year?
Ooh, that's a big one. I'm finally going to figure it out.
This is the year.
Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You know, a couple swing changes, you know, for a guy who gets to talk to the best teachers in the world and be around the best players in the world, you'd like to think once in a while some of it would rub off. So far, that's not happening.
From the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, that's Ron Green Jr. By the way, had the chance to tee it up with Ron this week. And if you think that his writing and his answers are smooth and easy, you should see that golf swing. And when we return, syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, John Patrick, takes dead aim at the upcoming golf season with our 10 predictive questions presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors, and 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Now joined by syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, John Patrick.
John, last year this was question number one, over under major appearances by Tiger Woods. I set the number at 1.5. This year I'm going to alter it somewhat. Over under just regular tournament wins by Tiger, and again, I'm setting the number at 1.5.
You know, I'll say over only because I think it might be two. I don't know that I'm all on board. I don't know. I think age factors into this more than anybody wants to admit. I think it gets harder to win at 43. I think it'll be harder to win at 44, and I think that's something to consider. So I will go over, but I will only go to two.
Now, I remember last year we had a similar discussion about Phil Mickelson, and you and I both agreed that if he was going to win, he would win early rather than late, and we were right on that. Is that the same kind of feeling you have about Tiger? If he's going to win in the tournament season, it's going to be early rather than later?
No, I think I'd go the other way. I think I've got more belief that he'll win later. I never know. I always hope that at this time of the year, you know, he's honing that game and he's getting it finely tuned. But I, again, back to the age thing, I think later rather than earlier. Now, having said that, if he wins early, April will be a circus. But I think later. I think later.
April's going to be a circus anyway, and you know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Question number two. More likely to happen, Rory and or Spieth complete the career Grand Slam this year, or neither ever completes it?
I'll take neither ever completes it.
That's the safe bet. I think that is the only five have done it, period. So if we're just limiting it to 1 year, right?
Yeah, one year and one tournament. I mean, you know, there's only one left on the block. You get one shot at that every year. I think better chance neither one of them get it.
John Patrick is the syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, our guest Taking Dead Aim. 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Number three, last year I asked if Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka were more likely to build off of their major championship success or have that chasing appearance fees hangover that we see so often. Both had really good years. Brooks had a great one. Will both, either or neither, win a major this year?
Is it neither or neither?
I don't know. Potato, potato.
I think Justin has a better chance of winning a major more than Brooks does. I still don't believe in Brooks.
Three wins in his last six majors, and you're not on board yet?
No, I'm not on board yet. I think Justin has a better chance of picking up a major before Brooks does.
Well, that being said, here are your venues: Augusta, Bethpage, Pebble, Royal Portrush. Where do you think he has the best shot?
I'd say the Open Championship, but Royal Portrush is kind of the wild card.
Yeah, we don't know.
Bethpage.
All right, speaking of those championship venues, question number four. Do you think that these venues that are in play this year, are we more likely to see the usual suspects padding their major championship resumes, or are we more likely to see first-time winners?
I think first-time winners. I really do. I wouldn't be surprised if the year looks a lot like last week in Mississippi with this kid Cameron Champ. I wouldn't be surprised if the casual golf fan doesn't learn a lot of new names next year. I really would.
Thank you for bringing up Cameron Champ. He's question number five here. He just won his first tour event, and this guy kills it. He averaged 324 off the tee, which was near last in the field in fairways hit, but third in greens hit. Is this what is wrong with the game, or is this just where the game is and there's nothing we can do about it?
I thought the question was going to be, is this what's right with the game or wrong with the game? Oh, this is where we are. There's nothing we can do about this. This is where we are. I'll tell you a quick story about Cameron. He played here at Sage Valley in the Junior Invitational, and we had a long driving contest. And when the kids found out Cameron was going to be a part of it, a lot of them backed out. He ended up not winning because he didn't hit a fairway.
Wow. Wow. Now, you know, John, we say there's nothing that can be done. And I, instead of spending gazillions of dollars to roll back equipment and technology, I observed something at the Ryder Cup this year that perhaps if we spent no money and just raised the mower height in the rough, we could solve some of this bomb and gouge because they would not be able to do it.
Well, I wish that's what the USGA would figure out. go back to the old U.S. Open setup, fast greens, high rough, and let's see what they can do. Narrow fairways, and let's see what they can do. I do think we have to accept, though, that this is where we are. This is the new normal. This is how far these players will hit it. And yet, with all of that, there aren't a whole lot of 22 under pars. So I think the Zach Johnsons of the world are each and every year getting passe. But I don't see anything changing. I really don't.
Now, I was talking to Ron Green Jr. earlier, and we were discussing how this win by Champ doesn't get him in at Augusta, but it does get him in at Kapalua. Potentially, we could see some things at Kapalua with Cameron Champ that get your popcorn ready.
Has anyone driven 18 yet?
I think we could see driver 8 or 9 iron. I really think we could.
Yeah, that's probably true. The kid, it's just, you see all of these guys hit it a long way, and it is just different with him.
When you hear people in the crowd who don't even bother with the Baba Booey and everything else, you hear people going, damn. I mean, that's that sets it all for me.
Yeah.
John Patrick, syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, our guest taking dead aim, our 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. We're up to number 6. Bryson DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm. Those are the only 3 players currently ranked in the top 10 in the world who have not won a major. Who wins one first? Will it be this year? And if I threw in number 11, Tommy Fleetwood in the mix, would that change your answer?
Yeah, I think Tommy. I would choose Tommy over those 3. And I could see Tommy winning something this year. I think it would have to be either here or the Open Championship.
I'm a believer. I think that guy's game wins anywhere in the world on whatever you want to play on. I think he's great.
Oh, I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think Fairway Jesus is rock solid.
No question. John, one of my favorite annual questions here. It's very simple. Yes or no. Do you think the United States Golf Association finds a way to screw up the setup at Pebble Beach and make themselves the story once again at the U.S. Open?
No, I don't think they will. I think Pebble's a different animal. I think they know how to deal with Pebble. I think for a lot of reasons, for the last 2 years on their back, I think for it being Pebble and they know what to do. The Pebble's made some changes. I think the 17 was questionable at the last U.S. Open. I don't think that'll be a question this year with its firmness. They get this one right. They get this one right.
Your faith in the USGA and Mike Davis is somewhat stunning to me. I even though I agree with everything you're saying, there's a part of me that still says, yeah, but it's Mike Davis and the USGA. They will find a way like no one else can.
I think the struggle with the USGA and going back to traditional courses, vis-a-vis Oakmont, Shinnecock, whatever, I don't think they know how to set those up. I don't think they allow the golf course to just be the golf course. And it's 100 years old, and you can't do 21st century stuff to a 100-year-old golf course. Now Pebble's 100 years old, but Pebble gets used all the time, and you don't have a lot. It doesn't feel like you have the same sort of inclination to do that sort of thing at Pebble. So I think they can get Pebble right.
Well, you know, and in terms of Pebble, there's one thing that they have going for it that, and it's to your point where they screw up other courses. I think the USGA's biggest problem is their obsession with a par 70, 280 score. I think that it's wrong, and they wind up messing with golf courses. That being said, it's very simple to turn Pebble into a par 70 golf course that does not feel forced, and they've done it many times, so I think that is in their favor.
Yeah, there's just something about Pebble that I just don't think they'll screw that up. I don't really know why. There's just something about it. Here's how you play Pebble. Here's what you do with Pebble. Just go play Pebble. I really think they struggle with how to bring a 100-year-old course into the 21st century. To your point, to try to get par as the old man par as the score, and they don't have to do that, but they insist on doing it.
This one's a little close to home for you. Billy Payne is going into the World Golf Hall of Fame, I think primarily for his work in growing the game in the last 10 years as chairman of Augusta National. However, he made no significant changes to the golf course. That was not going to be his legacy. How much change and how fast do you think they occur with Chairman Fred Ridley? And is there any chance of rolling back some of the hoodie changes that were so universally panned?
Yeah, there's a chance of rolling back the changes now that Hootie has passed. And I think they'll do it subtly and quietly. I don't think any of those I think all of those chairmen are very careful not to make massive changes. I don't think Billy Payne wanted anything to do with Amen Corner. I get the same impression from Fred Ridley. Five will be longer this year. You know, Chairman Payne made very small incremental changes. Tees lengthened just, you know, 5 to 10 yards, almost imperceptibly. I don't know about Fred yet. I don't get a sense of where Fred is yet. And maybe, you know, maybe this change of the fifth tee, they'll see how that plays, they'll see how that goes, and he'll play it by ear. I still to this day don't think anybody wants anything to do with backing up the 13th tee or moving the 13th green or anything like that.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it an inevitability that 13 will be messed with? Do you think that this chairman is the one to do it?
Well, he'd be the one to do it just through length of service.
Yeah.
If he's going to be the chairman for 5 to 10 years, and if they're going to move 13 back, then it's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. I really think they love Sunday. They love setting up that golf course for it to be maximum excitement, and a hole like 13 brings maximum excitement. Why do you want to make it risk reward? I mean, or at least more risk than reward.
Right.
That is an entertainment extravaganza on Sunday. It is less and less of a golf tournament. It is more and more, you know, let's just watch how this takes place. So that reason alone, I don't think they mind, you know, people hitting 13 with 5 irons. You still got to make the putt. You still got to make the eagle, and then it's exciting, and this person made the eagle. I think they like that.
John Patrick's the syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, our guest taking Dead Aim, 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Is there a player that you have your eye on, a Cameron Champ perhaps, Sam Burns, Austin Cook, someone of that ilk that you think will take that next step this year?
I don't know if this falls into your category. I think Schauffele is really rock solid. I like Xander Schauffele. I would not expect – nothing he does would surprise me. I think he's that good a player. I don't know if that falls into your realm of
No, it does. It does. His step would be from really solid, better than average, you know, top echelon PGA pro to major champion. So you think that he has a shot to become a major champion in the near future?
I think multiple winner first. I wouldn't be surprised to see him win 2-3 times in a year, and then a major championship. But that's the guy that I think out there is, like, sneaky good.
you have been very prescient with this annual final question over the years, eerily so at times. Last one, get you out of here on this. Your surprise or gut prediction about anything in the world of golf in 2019?
I think at this time next year, we'll know that Phil is done. I think at this time, you know, he'll make it public. I think this time next year, we'll know how Phil gets out of the game.
Always love getting the thoughts and opinions of my old friend, syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, John Patrick. And up next, he is CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf. Kyle Porter takes dead aim at the upcoming golf season with our 10 predictive questions presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Our 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season continues now with CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, Kyle Porter. KP, last year this was question one, over-under major appearances by Tiger Woods, and I set the number at 1.5. This year I'm going to alter it somewhat. Over-under tournament wins by Tiger Woods, but I'm still going to keep the number at 1.5.
Yeah, it's a good number. I think that, you know, you look at, I was reading something today by Bob Herrig of ESPN, just talking about, you know, what's Tiger's schedule going to be? Is he going to play Tournament of Champions? Is he going to go to Mexico? Is he going to play Honda Classic? He's got a different type of PGA Tour schedule next year than these guys have seen and then Tiger has seen. So I think it's kind of up in the air where he's going to play. But I think the biggest takeaway from him in terms of 2018 is that when he plays, he's going to play pretty well. So I don't know. I think he's going to have a more regular schedule in 2019. So I'll go over. I'll say he plays 16 or 17 tournaments and he wins two of them.
Now, I had this discussion with people last year regarding Phil Mickelson, and almost to a person when we were talking about Phil winning last year, it was, if he's going to do it, he better do it early, because as the season wears on, I think Phil will wear out, and sure enough, that proved to be true. Do you feel the same way about Tiger, or is this a different animal?
No, I think it's different. I think he's still young enough that doesn't totally apply. I agree with you that that's probably a narrative that we don't apply enough to older guys like Phil, who's going to be 49 next year. You know, other people that are in that age range. But Tiger's obviously fit. He's still just going to be 43 in December. And, you know, I think what's interesting, we always talk about the mileage that's on his body from the first part of his career, and obviously there's a lot of it. But he also hasn't played very much in the last 5 or 6 years. And so he's sort of gotten a reprieve from the violence of the swing and all the things that go with that over the last 5 or 6 years. And, you know, frankly, we saw him get better as the year went on in 2018. So I don't know that he's going to do that where he gets better from January to September. But I do think that he won't fade in the same way a Phil Mickelson would by the end of the year.
The second question is one of my favorites this year because it sounds like a fantastic Vegas prop bet. More likely to happen, Rory and or Spieth complete the career Grand Slam this year, or neither one ever completes it?
Oh, it's so good. I think it's more likely that neither of them ever complete it.
Yeah, I think that's the safe bet. With the way this question is worded, that's the safe bet. I'm just wondering if anybody will bite this year.
Yeah, I think neither of them ever. But I think we always look at guys like that who are generationally great and say it's just a foregone conclusion, right? That one of them will win all four and complete the Grand Slam. But I mean, how many real shots at the Masters does Rory have left? He's gonna be 30 next year. He's probably got 7, 8, 9, 10, probably 2 or 3 or 4 of those he's in real contention. And you start doing the numbers, and you're like, well, I mean, he might do it, but he also might not. And, you know, same goes for Jordan Spieth. There can only be one winner of each of these tournaments every year, and that's what you know, that's obviously what makes them so special.
Look, there's a reason why, since the era of the Mashy Niblick and the Feathery, only five people have done it. It's not easy.
Oh, no. I mean, but we do this thing, like, right after a guy wins an event, we're like, oh, well, he'll win the Grand Slam. And you're like, well, wait a second. Like, he won the U.S. Open. Let's calm down. Like, you know, there's just a finite number of tournaments, and when you start handing them out, like, oh, well, Spieth will win 3 or 4 more Masters, and Rory will get one, and like, the numbers just don't add up. Somebody's not going to win one, you know, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out over the next decade.
CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf. Kyle Porter is our guest taking Dead Aim. 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Last year I asked if Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka were more likely to build off their major success or have that chasing appearance fees hangover that we see so often. Well, both had really good years. Brooks had a great one. This year, will both, either or neither, win a major this year?
I think the safest bet there is probably either. I think JT's awesome. I mean, I think that obviously he's really good at golf, but I think that we are sort of underrating how generationally good he is. I just thought it's so hard to follow up what he did in 2017 and to win. What did he win? I think 3 times.
He won 3 times. Yeah,
that's phenomenal. I mean, to win twice in a year is a great year in terms of, you know, the tournaments that a caliber player Justin Thomas is playing. To do it 3 times, to win Honda, to win what else he went to, the Bridgestone, and one other, whatever it was,
and he lost another WGC playoff to Phil.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's so special, and I thought that what he did at the Ryder Cup was really impressive. I mean, he was the heart of that team in terms of performance. I don't know about team room or any of that stuff, but I continue to be impressed by him. And the thing about him is that he's so consistent in every area. You look at strokes gained putting, you look at strokes gained off the tee. Like, he's not a Rory where he stands out in driving, but then he struggles a little bit in short game. He's top 30, top 25 in every single category. And when you have somebody like that, it's not foolproof, but in this sport, it's as close to foolproof as you can get. And so I think we're going to see him be awesome for a really long time on the PGA Tour.
Here's our major championship venues lineup next year. Augusta National, Bethpage Black for the PGA, Pebble for the U.S. Open, and Royal Portrush for the Open Championship. Do you think with these venues, we're more likely to see players padding their major championship resumes, or more likely to see first-time winners?
Man, what a lineup, by the way.
Yes.
My goodness. I mean, when Bethpage is, like, easily the worst, quote-unquote, course.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty good lineup. I think that we're likely to see repeat winners. I think part of that is just a recent numbers game. You look at we've had so many first-time winners over the past few years that at some point, I think you're going to see some of these guys repeat. Like, it becomes hard to, like, pick out guys that are good enough that haven't won. You know, I guess we could see, like, you know, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Bryson DeChambeau, Tommy Fleetwood. You know, there's 4 just off the top of my head that haven't won one, but you know, the more first-time winners win, the harder it becomes for a first-time winner that's highly ranked to win, if that makes sense. And so I think because of kind of the rush we've had of first-time winners that you're going to see, you're going to start seeing more repeat winners over the next few years, no matter where these tournaments are played.
You brought up a couple of names, so let's skip ahead to one here. Bryson DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm. These are the 3 players currently in the top 10 in the world who have not won a major. Full disclosure, I'm talking to Kyle Porter, who is a graduate of Oklahoma State. All right. Which one wins first? Will it be this year? And if I threw in number 11 in the world, Tommy Fleetwood, would that change your answer?
It was. You said Bryson, Ricky, and Fleetwood?
Bryson, Ricky, and Rahm are in the top 10. Fleetwood's number 11.
Gotcha. It's so hard because they're all so good that any of them could win any major. I think you look at I mean, Ricky Fowler was like basically a one Patrick Reed chip that hit the pin on 17 from going to a playoff at the Masters.
Yeah.
How much differently do we think about Ricky's career if Reed's chip misses the pin, you know? I would hesitantly go with, I don't know. You know who I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with Tommy Fleetwood.
You really wanted to pull the trigger on the Cowboy, didn't you?
Well, I do. I think Ricky's, he's it's interesting to me because I think he's, if this is can even be possible, I think he's both underrated and overrated at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that Ricky's career has been way better than people give it credit for because of, I mean, he's just performed as a top 10 player for quite a while now and consistently week in and week out. But he also only has 4 PGA Tour wins and he doesn't have a major. And that at the end of the day, that stuff matters. It just does. If we're saying we're going to judge guys based on majors and wins and you don't do that, then we have to hold that against you on some level. So, you know, he's such a fascinating kind of lightning rod for all of this conversation about what makes a good golfer, what does winning even mean, all these different things. I think he'll eventually win one because it's almost statistically impossible to not win one if you're performing at the level that he's performing at. But I think Fleetwood's A game is maybe slightly better than all those other guys right now. I just think, and if he has it in a major league, I think he can go out and win one.
Oh, I think so too. Kyle Porter, CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf. Our guest taking Dead Aim, 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Cameron Champ just won his first tour event. I don't even have to ask you. I know you love this guy. The guy kills it. However, yeah. Some interesting stats. Averaging 324 off the tee last week. He was near last in the field in fairways hit, but third in greens hit. My question to you is this what is wrong with the game, or is this just where the game is and there's nothing you can do about it?
It's the latter. I mean, this is where the game is. I mean, if you are the PGA Tour and you are going to the courses you're going to and you're setting them up the way that you're setting them up, this is what you're breeding. I mean, this is what you're asking for. And so you can't hold that against players for basically answering the bell in terms of what the PGA Tour has asked them to do. Now, I think we can sit here and argue all day about what is the PGA Tour's role, what is the USGA's role in all of this in terms of, you know, the Nick Saban quote, what do we want? What is this what we want golf to be? But I can't hold that against a player the way that he's kind of designed his game. And, you know, he's also really exciting. Like, I think that he is, you know, I don't know if he's the best quote in the world, but in terms of game and excitement and, you know, just somebody that I'm like, oh, so-and-so is in contention. I think he's right up there among the kind of the younger players of, you know, in golf today.
Oh, and I'm seriously, I would pay money. I would be more likely to pay money pay-per-view to watch Cameron Champ play Kapalua in January than I would to pay money to see Tiger and Phil at the end of this month. I mean, are you not excited to see that guy tee off on 18 and see if he has 7-iron in?
Yeah, I am, and I think what's fun about some of these younger guys is that there seems to be a real you know, I think once you've been on the tour for a long time, it becomes kind of rote. It becomes a little bit mechanical. Not mechanical, but it just becomes, it's a job, you know? And so you see young guys like Cameron Champ that are, it's still such a delight for them to go out and play in these events, in these tournaments, these majors that they get to play. And as a viewer, as a consumer of it, I think that's kind of the fun part of it, that, you know, Tiger playing in, I don't know, Arnold Palmer for the 28th time. You know, like he's just kind of grinding. But then I'm watching Cameron Champ play the Masters for the first time and just the joy that comes from that. I think there's a refreshment to it that maybe you don't get in some other spaces in this sport.
I agree. Hey, one of my fave annual questions here, yes or no. Do you think the USGA finds a way to screw up the setup at Pebble and make themselves the story once again at the U.S. Open?
I mean, the answer is always yes. I realized this either last year. Where were they last year?
Shinnecock.
Well, Shinnecock, but the year before that.
Oh, where did they screw? Oh, the year before that, were Erin Hills.
That's right. One of those 2 years, I kind of came to the conclusion, like, the question is not, are they going to screw it up? It's what part of it are they going to screw up? it's impossible for them to, I mean, and in some ways I feel a little bit bad for them, because any singular mistake, no matter how trivial it may seem, gets blown out of proportion in a way that it doesn't when you're playing Memorial or Bridgestone or wherever else these guys go to. But, you know, they've also brought it on themselves in a lot of ways. So, yes, I definitely think Pebble is going to, in some way, get screwed up for the 2019 U.S. Open.
Kyle, Billy Payne is going into the World Golf Hall of Fame for his work primarily in growing the game over the last 10 years as chairman at Augusta National. However, he made no significant changes to the golf course. He didn't want that to be his legacy. How much change and how fast do you think they occur with Chairman Ridley? Any chance of rolling back some of the Hootie changes that were so universally panned?
And I'd love to see it. You know, I think that Augusta holds so much power in the game. And in a lot of ways, they've used it, you know, for so many good things, for the drive, chip, and putt, for... you know, they're having this women's event now. Like, they've really wielded that in a beneficial way, I think, for the sport. And I think it would be beneficial overall to bring the ball back to I don't know, allow so many of these courses that are classic traditional courses to still be. To not become obsolete. I mean, we've talked about it a million times, but...
Well, you know, I got a lesson watching the Ryder Cup this year, and I'm not saying you need to grow it out to look like the nightmare at Wingfoot. I'm not saying that. But just raise the mower height one notch, just one notch, and if you make it penal, and by penal I mean where a ball is going to sit down in that rough to where it's going to roll up your club face with a wedge, and you're not going to be able to move it more than 6 or 8 feet if it's sitting down. If you make it to where putting the ball in the fairway is the thing to do, I think that's how you take care of all this.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, obviously Augusta has the power to do a lot of different things, and I would love, and I think I've written about this, I would love to see them use that in the equipment realm. And yeah, maybe it's course management also, but for me it's more with the equipment, and I don't know. Who knows how it's going to play out? I have no idea. I don't know if anybody does because of how much power the equipment companies have, but it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out because it's become a real thing, you know.
Oh, no, it is. It is.
And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out over the next decade.
Kyle Porter, CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, our guest taking Dead Aim. Final two questions on our predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Is there a player that you have your eye on, like a Cameron Champ, a Sam Burns, an Austin Cook, that you think is going to take that next step this year?
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a name that is probably too obvious, but I think is just going to have a monster year, and it's Tony Finau. I think Tony Finau could win three times next year. And I think people sort of they look at him, and obviously he's not. I mean, he's ranked 17 in the world, so he's not underrated or anything like that. But he's had five runners up in the last 12 months in PGA Tour events, and it's not like he's playing every single week. He's had an incredible run, and I think he takes that final step into winning multiple times and becoming, you know, a top 10 or maybe even top 5 player in the world.
Final question, your surprise or gut prediction about anything in the world of golf this next year?
Oh, I'm never prepared for this. I think that Bryson DeChambeau abandons his coefficient of restitution series and starts putting with the pin out again. No, I don't know. I think that Jordan Spieth's going to have an awesome year in 2019. I know that that's not really going out on a whim because I think most people think that he's generationally great, but he did not play well for him in 2018, and I think that I think that guys that are that good and that driven, I think he's sort of obsessed with golf. And I think guys like that who are that talented figure it out eventually. And so I think he wins 2, 3, maybe 4 times in 2019.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring him up. I was having a conversation about him yesterday with someone, and we were discussing that even though you may look back on 2018 as a lost year, he's a couple of good breaks by Patrick Reed away from coming out of nowhere to win the Masters. And
he has
the lead on the last round at the Open Championship.
Yeah.
So it could have gone from a meh year to another two major championship year very easily.
I know. I was looking back on his finishes because I wrote a piece on him for our site for Wednesday. And his only top 10 after the Masters was the Open. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, he played in the final pairing at the Open.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's different, right? Because he's judged in a different way than Alex Noren is or Francesco Molinari is. He just is. Like, that's just the reality of being Jordan Spieth. And I think he understands that. But it wasn't, like, I think people act like he missed, like, 20 cuts or something, and the reality is that he just had, you know, he had 5 top 10s, 5 missed cuts. It wasn't bad by any, I mean, there's a ton of people out there who would take that. It was just not great by his standards, and a lot of it goes back to the putter. He was 136th on the PGA Tour in putting last year. That's not good. And as long as that improves even a little bit, he's gonna contend and probably win again in 2019.
He is CBSSports.com's Eye on Golf, Kyle Porter. I'd also like to thank the syndicated host of the Augusta Golf Show, John Patrick, and my man from the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, Ron Green Jr., for their time and insight this week. A reminder, should you just be catching the last little bit of the show and wonder what all we've covered today, no worries. Just subscribe to the Taking Dead Aim podcast at Apple Podcasts, and it will automatically download to the device of your choice most weeks, just minutes after this terrestrial radio version of the show finishes airing. Additionally, a great way to stay in the loop with us is to be a regular consumer of our Facebook page. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Featured there are articles now on Bryson DeChambeau's putting plans for the upcoming season, Holly Saunders' exit from Fox Sports in terms of golf, and something I was unaware of, Lumpy, Tim Herron's physical struggles right now as he prepares to head into the Champions Tour within the next year. Weather-wise, fall in the QC. Going to be a beautiful weekend. So get out there. Get your golf on. And if you do, tee it up and let this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. Remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at @CLT_golfguy. And I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.